Welcome to Pharmacy Focus, Policy Edition, where we discuss important legislative developments and their impact in pharmacy. I'm Ashley Gallagher from Pharmacy Times, and today we will be discussing the implications for provider status. Before we dive in, let's go over what provider status is. The concept of provider status revolves around recognizing pharmacists as essential healthcare providers like doctors and nurses. This recognition empowers pharmacists to offer a wider range of patient care services beyond dispensing medications. At its core, provider status is about acknowledging the expertise and potential of pharmacists in patient care. It enables pharmacists to perform tasks like medication management, vaccinations, point-of-care testing, and more. This shift aligns with the evolving role of pharmacists as crucial members of the healthcare team. Today I have Ron Lanton from Lanton Law to discuss the implications of provider status for pharmacists, as well as any new developments. What are some of the financial impacts of gaining provider status?
I think it comes down to two things. It comes down to pharmacy reimbursement, and it also comes down to patient access / cost reduction. So when I started talking about the hardships that COVID brought, there were so many that it didn't do, but when people started looking at pharmacists and say, okay, what can you do? We expect you to test, we expect you to treat because we can't get to the physician's office. That's all well and good, but when states started to say, oh yeah, the pharmacy will be able to take care of that, a lot of pharmacists were looking around and were like, well, first of all, yes, we would love to take care of that, but regulatory-wise, we don't have the means to do that. There's no billing codes for this. You know, what do we put in? How do we get reimbursed? You know, what's the metric that we're using? Are we basing this on physician reimbursement or like a similarly situated healthcare provider in the chain on that reimbursement? We don't know. So I think the financial implications for the pharmacist would be to get that clarity around how they're being reimbursed, which is very important. And then I mentioned the other step, which was the patient access / cost reduction. Patients being able to go and understand what they have, are they sick, are they not? And then, okay, maybe I don't need to go to the ER because that's going to really cause a lot of, you know, expense. So I think that getting this will just be another step in reducing that cost.
Why has it been such a challenge to gain provider status given what seems like a clear benefit?
It does make sense. You know, the idea definitely makes sense. A couple of things, in my opinion. First, when you look at it, pharmacy is the only provider that is not recognized as a healthcare provider, right? I mean, you've got, you know, physicians, you've got all kinds of people, sometimes even nurse practitioners, you know, are recognized as healthcare providers. And then you've got the pharmacist kind of over here going, well, what about me? That hasn't happened. That's not something that's just happened overnight. It's just happened over time. And I think that pharmacists continue to try to fix that. They've been a lot more vigilant in the last couple of years on the state legislative side, which is what we're seeing with Michigan and some of the things that other states have done. I also think, without getting too much in the details about the fights between pharmacists and physicians, I think there definitely needs to be more communication between the two communities. There really just hasn't been a lot of policy trust. I think that both pharmacists and physicians mean well, and they both want to take care of their patients. But because neither one of them have really worked that much together, there's just not that great of an understanding about what each provider can offer. And I think this is the case in states that actually have collaborative practice agreements. They're there, but they're very underutilized. And I'm not really sure why. You know, I'm not sure if pharmacists don't know that they're there. Maybe they do. Like in Connecticut, for example, I've actually taken a look at some of the collaborative practice agreements that they have that they're allowing you to do by regulation. A lot of this is really tedious. And I think that maybe that's a reason that it's just, there just needs to be some more work. And it's not just between the physician and the pharmacist. I think, you know, with that, there needs to be some work with the legislature, you know, and really telling some of the regulators as well, this is what we're trying to accomplish. You know, each state is really trying to save money and this is the best way to do it.
Is the push for provider status mainly happening at the state level or does this have to come from the federal level?
This has reached the federal level. Now, I started working on the federal level with pharmacy provider status, I'd have to say around 2009. So, and I know the idea has been around before then. I just remember when I came into the picture, the momentum has started going again for federal, and that was around that time period. We're still working on that for a number of reasons. I don't think anything has really changed on the pharmacy perspective. I just think, for a long time, it's been really, really hard to get anything through Congress. It's just been that way. It's just been very hyper partisan. So, in addition to really no one getting much done, I think it's preferred if we got a federal bill because that really goes to the heart of the matter. It's where, vaccines, everything is in Medicare Part B. And if we're able to make sure that pharmacists or healthcare providers over there, that really takes a lot of the hard work that's we're actually watching real time in some of these states happen. In states, it really depends on what's classified as pharmacy provider status. Is it the smoking cessation? Is it this? Is it flu? Is it COVID? Is it this? Is it that? It's so segmented and staggered. And it's good because for states that have started to step into this and allow pharmacists to get reimbursed for these particular conditions, these are good steps to go. It just feels like you almost have to go back to the legislature every single year in order to get things expanded to where you want it to be. And that's where you get that suspicion from the physician's office, or not office, from the physician community saying, how far is this actually going to go? So that's why I said it's really essential for the pharmacist and physician to get together and just kind of talk about what's being done, look at the patient populations that each person's serving in their respective states. Maybe you've got one disease state that's worse than the other. And, maybe pharmacists and physicians can work on that together. So I think there's a lot of opportunity.
Are there any recent legislative moves on this front that are or could be significant?
There are, I think on the state level, it comes down to three things before I talk about some of the bills that have been introduced lately. The first is the pharmacy actually recognized as a healthcare provider? Or has, their scope of practice been expanded to where you're kind of getting the pseudo recognition? I think the second thing is, does the collaborative practice agreement allow for pharmacists to be sort of fluid with maybe a changing disease state, or God forbid we get another type of COVID-19, so what does the regulations allow you for that? How does a pharmacist get paid? That's key. And hopefully those are being addressed on the state level as well. Recently, there have been a couple of moves in various state legislatures. So earlier this year, Wyoming enacted a law that authorizes reimbursement for services provided by a pharmacist under Medicaid. So that's good. Virginia passed a law earlier this year. And in Virginia, it requires Medicaid to reimburse pharmacists for any covered service provided under a collaborative agreement or a statewide protocol, which is good. In Maryland passed a law that requires both Medicaid and state-regulated commercial insurance plans to recognize pharmacists as providers, which is good, and to also reimburse for all covered services within the scope of practice. That starts January 1st of 2024. Lastly, Missouri, their Medicaid program permits pharmacists to receive reimbursement for any covered service that falls within their scope of practice. So, again, these are all really good steps. I encourage other states to take a look at these types of laws that were enacted and really take heart that, if you're starting from scratch, there's hope. It's I know we're over 40 states now that have passed some kind of pharmacy provider status. Like I said, it just matters on what it is. But there's all kinds of models for those remaining states that haven't been able to pass anything. There's pathways that you can look at as and use in your discussions and trying to get this stuff through.
How can pharmacists advocate for provider status?
Well, I think there's several ways to do it. The easiest way is to, I know it sounds easy because I do this all the time, but draft up a bill, right? Usually use some of these examples that we talked about earlier in this interview. Just take a look at what's, been enacted, and you can steal some of that language and tailor it to what your specific state is going through. And then talk to the legislature, find a, hopefully, and sometimes this is a luxury in states, but you may find that there is a pharmacist in the legislature. That's a state representative or a senator. Go to that person and say, hey, you understand. This is what we want to do. I've known plenty of legislator pharmacists that have been more than willing to take this up and really explain to the legislature why this is needed, because most people in the legislature don't know about this type of issue. So I think that's the easiest thing. If you don't have a pharmacist that's a legislator, find your, maybe you have a relationship with your local state rep or senator, and just talk to them as a constituent. Tell them why this is important for your business, and not just for the pharmacy business, but also to help heal patients in their district. I think they'd be very interested in that. Most legislators have had experiences at, small and large pharmacies, so that's something that they can understand. I think in addition to that, most people have not really been speaking out with the regulators. I think that's a missed opportunity. Most people think that, the Board of Pharmacy or maybe Department of Insurance doesn't really care. They do. There's this, they oversee these types of regulations, and I think that they would want to know what's a way to make those regulations clearer, more specific, and actually better, for the pharmacists and for the patients. So I think that's another one. And I think lastly, besides the patients that come in and just telling them about why it's important for the pharmacy to be part of the team and everything, talking to the patient's providers, talking to the doctors, especially reaching out to some of these other healthcare associations, maybe behavioral health. That's another opportunity that I think pharmacists has to work with people there to lower costs and improve outcomes. So I think just really just talking to as many people as you can about it, understanding, helping people to understand that this isn't just, a scope infraction. We're not trying to come in and try to take people's jobs. What we're trying to do is make sure that the patient gets better. And, using a pharmacist skill to do that has been overlooked. And I think that's why a lot of times, we're seeing these rising healthcare costs and we're seeing these longer patient waits, because the pharmacist isn't being utilized as much as they should.
Are you curious about the compensation of pharmacists in other work environments or even other areas of the country? What about their job satisfaction levels? So are we. Head to the link in the description to take this year's Pharmacy Times Salary and Job Satisfaction Survey, featuring new questions about burnout and the future of pharmacy. Thank you. I'm Ashley Gallagher from Pharmacy Times. Thank you for listening to Pharmacy Focus Policy Edition, where we discuss important legislative developments as well as policy updates and their impact on pharmacy.